Welcome back to the Pastor's Free Game Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. We are starting a brand new series, and it's sure to be an emotional one because it is Pastor Bruce Miller's final series as our senior pastor here at Christ Fellowship as he transitions into a founding pastor role. So he got to choose whatever he wanted to preach on as his final series, and we're calling it What Matters Most because Bruce has decided to preach on the book of Philippians. So in our conversation today, I ask him why he chose this book, and we talk a little bit about how Paul's prayer for the Philippians is something that Bruce is praying for all of us. You don't want to miss any of our episodes in this series, starting with this one. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, Zoom edition.
Bruce and I
are not in our cozy studio. We are each in our own houses. We had a weird thing happen today where the power went out. So we were all set to record. The entire neighborhood, because even my house isn't that far from the church. And we had no power either. So we had to figure out and scramble how to do this. But I'm really glad we're going to get to do it because I know Bruce is probably tired of everyone saying this, but this is the start of his final series as senior pastor at Christ Fellowship.
It was kind of weighty, and I don't know, that final series sounds like some serious music is supposed to play at this point. And
yes, for real. Yes.
Anyway. I have a whole range of mixed emotions. I've never lived through this before. I've never done this before. Yeah, lots of treasuring every moment. I just love every person at Christ Fellowship, and I love Sunday mornings. It's one of my favorite days of the week, and love preaching. And so I'm really, and I was given this as good advice to say, just enjoy every moment, knowing there's not as many left. And probably that's a good way to live life anyway,
right? Is
really watching every day, every moment. And I'm doing that a little bit more these days than I was before.
Yes, that's fair. So in case people didn't know, catching them up, I'm assuming people know, but in case we have new listeners, Bruce did announce last October that this October would be your final month as senior pastor, and you'll be transitioning to a different role as founding pastor. And you've already shared your story a lot, but you really felt called by God that this was the time for you to move to something different.
Yeah, it was really a straight God call. Usually for me, I make a pro con list and I'm thinking through strategically. I'm a very strategic, intentional person. This was really not that. I had in my plan of when I thought I might step down, and it wasn't now, it was a few years from now, but God had other plans. And it was as close to an audible voice as I've almost heard in my life. You know, very rare to hear something like this three nights in a row that I feel like God said, "You're finished. You've run the race. And it's time to step down and write," just really one word, write. And Lisa, you know, as a fellow writer, I love to write. Writing's like an act of worship for me. So I don't know what I'll write. People have asked me, "Are you working on any project?" I said, "No, really, all my emotion, all my bandwidth right now is taken up with leaving well. I want to pass the baton well and run my race to the finish line. And then sometime after that, I know God will open opportunities to write and do other things." So
that's, I think, healthy. It's like you don't have, you're not trying to do two things at once, right? Your mind's not divided. You're finishing out your time at Christ Fellowship, and then you're moving on to who knows what.
Yeah, part of what makes it good, hard and easy both, like simultaneously, is that the church is doing so well.
Yeah,
so we just did kind of a state of the church a few weeks ago, and shared some numbers of how things are going. And as we looked at it, it was like, oh, wait, like almost every number is positive. Not every number, but the majority of kids' attendance and giving and overall attendance and small groups and people serving. It's like, wow, the number of people on mission trips, one thing after another. And I feel this sense of momentum and just the spirit moving in Christ Fellowship, new people, young people, new babies. And part of me feels like, okay, it's in good hands. It's in God hands. It's going great. And then part of me like, oh, I want to be part of this. It's going
yeah.
so great.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a natural thing to go, wait, yeah. but if it goes really well without me, what does that mean about me?
That's true too. All those
but you
feelings.
Know that it's all in God's hands and all his purposes. So you decided as your last series to preach the book of Philippians. I mean, you could have preached anything. People right. would have said, whatever you want to preach, Bruce, it's fine. You would have had free reign, but you chose Philippians. So tell us a little bit about why that was your choice.
Yeah. You know, another thought some pastors had is they've gone out and found their five or six favorite sermons all through their time and from different series. And I thought, no, you know, I've always enjoyed preaching through a book the best, a book of the Bible, straight exposition. And then when I thought through the books of the Bible and the various series I've done, Philippians just rings for me. Some of my favorite verses are in there. Years ago, I think I was a teenager. I might have been in college. I memorized the book of Philippians. And I can't quote it today. Don't make me quote the whole book.
I was going to say, go. Ready? First one.
Not even sure what translation. Probably New American Standard would be my guess of what I memorized it in back then. But I've really marinated in that book and preached it in the early years of the church. We did a leadership retreat up at Lake Texoma and did the book of Philippians. And then I preached it in 7 years ago. And for me, it just has so many life messages. Another piece of advice I was given was, hey, remind the church of the things you've taught over the years that are really important to you and important to the church, key values. And I thought, you know what, those just... they really arise right out of the book of Philippians. And so I'm not going to preach every single verse all the way through the book. There's seven services left that I'll be senior pastor, and five of those I'm preaching. So it's five sermons with really key insights out of the book of Philippians.
Great. Oh, I don't like that though. I don't like that you just said there's only five. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good. I mean, October still seems a while away. But yeah, five, that hits home. Okay. So I want to go ahead and read because you're going to cover the first 11 verses this Sunday as we kick off. So I want to go ahead and read that for people so they know, you know, what we're talking about here. And while I'm looking that up, Bruce, why don't you give us a little context for the book of Philippians? What's going on? Why did Paul write it?
Yeah, Paul had they think 10 years, maybe as many as 15, but probably 10 years back, he had done a missionary journey to Philippi, city in northern Greece, and preached the gospel. People like Lydia had trusted in Christ there, the Philippian jailer, some amazing stories. It's worth reading up in the book of Acts. And then now he is writing a letter back to the church that was founded there, encouraging them. And it's one of his most personal letters to a church. The book of 2 Timothy is his most personal letter to a person.
Yeah.
But Philippians is really his most personal book to another church. He seems to have had a partnership with a church in Philippi a little deeper than some of the other churches in terms of their engagement with his ministry financially, in prayer, and also in mutual service and preaching the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems to really love those people in Philippi. I mean, he loved all the people, I'm sure.
Right.
But there's just a special relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. With Philippi. So
here's for me, my heart for Christ fellowship.
As
I hear Paul talk about the tenderness of his affection for the Philippians and the church there, it resonates for me for how I feel about Christ Fellowship and the people of Christ Fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Okay, let me read it. And then you can elaborate on that a little bit because I was going to ask you about that. Okay, so Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Okay, well, I can see why you would want to share that with your church. Those are some great words there. So let's start at the very beginning. You know, Paul starts his letters differently depending upon who he's writing to, but often he addresses himself, or he identifies as an apostle. But in this one, he doesn't. He says a servant of Christ Jesus. And I think he does this maybe in one other letter, but do you think there's a significance there of why he changed a little bit how he addressed himself?
Yeah, I really do. Philippi was settled largely by retired military, Roman military, and they were given plots of land by the Roman government. So it was a Grecian city, but became a Roman city, and status was really a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so in this city, I think he is pointing out the humility of Christ and how he calls us to humble service. And so calling himself a doulos, a slave, a servant, was pretty strong, but to be a servant of God was an honorable thing. And actually, in chapter 2, Christ is called a servant.
Yeah.
He humbles himself as a servant as he comes to sacrifice his life for us as a human being. And so, yeah, I really think he's doing something there. And I also think it's interesting that he includes Timothy, mm-hmm. Paul and Timothy. And then he says, together with the overseers and deacons. And part of what I think he's communicating is it's not a one-man show.
Yeah.
And that it's collaborative. And that's been my heart and spirit the entire time at Christ Fellowship, is it's not about Bruce. It's never been built around me. And I have, over the years, strived to build a team, and that we do this together with the mm-hmm. elders and the pastors and the staff and the leaders of Christ Fellowship.
Yeah. And just to testify on your behalf, I have felt that over the years, that Bruce never seems to really pull rank. I mean, he has to make hard decisions, but you've never been one to be like, this is my idea, therefore it is the greatest idea, therefore you all need to get on board without any dissent. You know, it's never. And I mentioned that because that I know that's not always true in other churches, you know, and unfortunately we hear about some of those toppling in the news. And I think that's part of it, is because when you have one person without any accountability, that's just really dangerous. But Bruce has always had that humble, like, I'm a servant. I'm a leader. I'm going to lead strong, but I want to serve the people around me. So I think that's great. And I think that's where you share something with Paul there. Okay. He starts.
I think all of us need a Timothy too, by the way.
Oh yeah.
So if you're in children's ministry or women's ministry, wherever you're serving, is to say, who could I bring along with me that could be my quote unquote Timothy, mm-hmm. the person who is going to help me and is going to learn to do ministry with me. And it's frankly, it's more fun to do ministry with somebody else.
It sure is. And boy, isn't it great that, you know, there may be areas that you're weaker and that person can come in and help you be stronger and you help raise them up. I mean, the collaboration part of ministry is one of the greatest joys, I think. It's not without its challenges, but
even with digging deeper, it's been you and me and Rafe and Don Clausen all working together to do it.
Yeah.
Not just one person.
Exactly. Okay. So he goes on and he prays, and it's pretty customary for Paul to start a letter with a prayer. But I think this is just such a sweet prayer. And really reveals the relationship he has with this particular church, because he talks about how when I love this, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. I mean, isn't that how you want people to pray about you? First of all, it's lovely that people do pray about us, but I mean, goodness, don't you want them to fill them with joy, just the thought of you and, you know, lifting you up before the Lord. So do you feel that way about Christ Fellowship, Bruce?
Yeah, I really do. When I start thinking about you guys, the people of Christ Fellowship, I just, get a smile on my face. And I pray with joy. And as I think about shifting to founding pastor, I realize that doesn't have to change at all. That I will continue to pray with joy for the people of Christ Fellowship, and I'll continue to serve as your shepherd, one of the shepherds, just like I've always been one of the shepherds. It's just that my role, it looks different, but my prayers will continue to be filled with joy as I think through the people of Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, that's great. So, and he says why, he tells the why, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So this word partnership, that's what the NIV says and some other translations. But would you give us a little background on that, Bruce, in the Greek? Because I think it's a really rich word.
Yeah, partnership's a great word, frankly. It's the word koinonia, which we often would translate with the word fellowship. But the way Paul uses it in Philippians is not just social or relational fellowship, but it's also working together like a team. A team plays hard together. That's more than just a team is more than social. They have a goal. You want to win the game with your football team. And in this case, everyone's contributing to a cause. And so he talks later about their koinonia, their partnership in their financial giving, that they participated in his mission by supporting him financially, and then with their service and their care for him, and then with their prayers. And so the koinonia, the partnership, is relational, love, friendship, but it's very practical too. It's also financially, all putting in our money together to cause the gospel to go forward, and it's serving together and praying together. It's a rich sense that, and I really feel that with Christ Fellowship, that we are partners together in the gospel. Mm-hmm. We're all contributing our money. We're all contributing our time. We're serving. We're all contributing our prayers, and we're all having meaningful conversations with people out in the community. We're doing this together.
That's the only way we can do it, right?
Right.
It's our faith is not a individualistic faith. It's very much like we got to be doing this together. So this phrase at the end, or this verse, actually verse 6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will can carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I hear this verse used a lot as an encouragement, like, you know, God has begun something in you, he's going to complete it. But do you have any thoughts on what the work is? Is it a specific kind of work, or is it just sort of a general God's going to sanctify you kind of work? Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, there's two points of view, main points of view. And you and I, Lisa, always seem to take the both and, which I do here too.
We love a both and.
One point of view is it's more personal development, personal sanctification, that God's going to continue his work of developing you into Christ's likeness. Mm-hmm. The other point of view is he's really talking about partnership and the work of the gospel, that mm-hmm. the good work he's done in you to bring the gospel throughout Philippi and across the Roman world, he's going to complete to bring the gospel around the world. Well, those two are not in conflict.
No.
I think he's talking about both, because you have to develop in Christ's likeness to be able to bring the
right.
gospel to the world. So I think it's the whole know Christ and make him known, both in there, that we follow Christ and we help other people find and follow Christ. And so, I mean, I just can't help but think about Christ's fellowship, that Paul's thinking about when he first brought the gospel to Philippi 10 or so years ago. And I'm thinking about our first services in March 16th, 1997, and the core group in 1996. And here it is 28 years later. And I'm so confident God's going to continue his work long past my season as senior pastor, but through hopefully generations to come.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this area, the need for the gospel in North Texas is not going away. No. In fact, it's increasing as more and more people come to this area. So goodness gracious, we need all our churches to be strong and healthy and reaching out to these people that may not know Jesus. So that's good.
That's right.
Okay. So he says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share God's grace for me. I love how he uses this word all quite a bit in this. Do you think that's significant? The repetition of all?
Oh yeah. One theme that runs through the book is unity. And at the end, he's going to commend a couple of of ladies in particular to be sure they work things out. So I think he is accenting that whether you are wealthy or poor, Jew or Gentile, man or woman, whether you're an overseer and a deacon or you're one of the members of the church, we're all together. Whether you're Roman or Greek, we're all together in this gospel, all of us. And I think that so hits our value of being united, that we're all together for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah, that's good. And then this last couple of verses, I just think are such a beautiful prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So can you kind of unpack that a little bit for us, Bruce? That's a Paul sentence right there. That's a Pauline sentence if I ever heard one. Yeah. It's got a lot of clauses, a lot there. But what do you mean? Because when you hear love, a lot of us in our culture go, oh, love is affection. It's hugging. It's emotion. But then he says, but he connects it to knowledge and depth of insight. So how does that work?
Yeah, such a great prayer. And really, honestly, this is my prayer for you guys, for the people of Christ Fellowship, and starting with myself. But yeah, this prayer is that your love will abound, which means to overflow in knowledge and depth of insight. And I think about how people who love something, these days football season has started, and people who love football kind of blow me away. I mean, I watch it and enjoy it, but the people who know, remember, you know who's in the draft and who was picked last year? Remember their number one draft choice and he didn't work out? And I'm like, I remember that play in the second game of the season. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. But if you love football, you know football. And you listen to podcasts and you read about it and you watch the players in the background. And yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, imagine that you love God that much, that you were that into God, that you knew, let's just use football. If you're really a football aficionado, imagine that you knew God that well, or you put that much time and attention into knowing God. So it's not a love that's an empty sentimentality or an emotion, but it's a knowing. And I don't know, this happens with people when you first fall in love and you want to know everything about this person you've fallen in love with. And that's a wonderful thing. So it's knowledge and depth of insight into God and his ways and his word. So it's a knowledge of an insightful love. It's not an empty love.
That's really good.
And love then results in discernment, to be able to discern what's best. And that's my prayer for me and the people of Christ Fellowship, you guys, that we would love God. That's the number one command, love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, with such insight that we what's best, not just what's good, but what's best in everyday circumstances.
Yeah, that's really good. I talked to a young person not too long ago who was really, and I remember this phase of my own life so well, when you're in your early 20s and you know, there's just your life sort of laid out before you and you have all these possibilities and options. And, you know, I remember really going, oh, I just need to discern what's best. I'm just trying to discern what's best. Like God. And, you know, you have this sense of like, God would just send me a letter or an email or a text message that just says, Lisa, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the job you're supposed to take. This is where you're supposed to live. That would be great. But I love the way Paul puts this here, because it seems like your options are bigger than that. Like there's more to
That's
it
right.
than like the everyday decisions you have to make. You're cultivating who you are in Christ, that you're going to be
That's
pure
right.
and blameless, which is remarkable.
And it ties back to the mission, because you're making choices of what's best for Christ's mission.
Yeah.
And God's honor ultimately.
Yeah. So I told that person to relax a little, because I was like, you know, because God loves you and God's going to guide you. You just wake up every morning determined to honor God with your life and to, you know, and then let him guide you for the rest. Don't get too spun up about it.
He doesn't pray for their circumstances to change or his circumstances to change,
right?
Even though he's in prison.
Right. Which would probably be my first prayer. By the way, can you guys please pray for me to get out of prison? But no. Yeah. Or for them to not experience persecution, but them that they would know what is best so that they can become that pure and blameless when Christ returns. And so there's also sort of this hope built in here.
That's right.
Because even though their circumstances may not be great right now, and Paul's certainly weren't, he's always looking forward to Christ's return.
That's right. And, that theme through the book is like a minor, a smaller note that's always in the background, is looking to the return of Christ.
And he's going to make everything right. Everything's going to be set. Okay, so he finishes up with filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So fruit of righteousness, any thoughts on that? What does that look like?
I think he's talking mainly about moral purity, that we're obedient to God's will, living righteous lives, and that comes through Jesus Christ, not through our own ability. But we talked this summer about the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of righteousness, I think, is moral purity. It's obedience to God's moral law that is part of love. Love, again, is not neutral. Love, true love, godly love, is moral. It is righteous, as well as being discerning.
That's
so
good.
It's a love that's knowledgeable, not ignorant, and it's a love that is righteous, not just emotional. I mean, not that it's devoid of emotion, it's just not only emotion.
The emotion is still there. And yeah, and I think you can't help for have affection for people that you would pray. If you would pray this kind of prayer for someone, even if you don't have affection for them, maybe this would be a good prayer to pray for someone that you're maybe struggling with, because you're going to develop affection for someone you pray this prayer for sure.
That's right.
But for Paul, he was already there with them. Okay. Well, any last minute, or not last minute, sorry. Any last thoughts on this passage as you prepare to preach it, and just sort of where you are and starting to, what do you want people to walk away from hearing this message? Like, I'm sure you're thinking, I got five more shots at this. I mean, not that you'll never preach again, but you know what I mean? Like, so what's like the thing you go, I want everyone to walk away from this passage knowing what?
I think freshly committed to unite together for the gospel, for Christ's gospel, that he's saying partner, unite, the koinonia we talked about, partner together for Christ's gospel. It's worth it. Which is right back to the way our mission statement is at Christ Fellowship. Let's unite together to help people find and follow Christ.
That's good. That's really good, Bruce. All right. Well, would you pray for everyone? Why don't you go ahead and take this opportunity to pray for the people of Christ Fellowship and all our other podcast listeners?
Father, I do. Right now, I lift up the people I so dearly love. I pray that for us, the people of Christ Fellowship, that our love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we might be able to discern what's best and be filled with the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we will be back, and you do not want to miss an episode of this podcast, because we'll have Bruce on every week. And hopefully have more good things to share.
Yeah, so next week is going to be one of my absolute top life verses in the next passage.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And we will see you next week.